Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 and one more welcome to everybody to the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love devolve into BS, which is, for the purposes of this broadcast, bait and switch. You may have other ideas what it means, and that's fine with me. But for what I'm talking about here, life is being ruined by bait and switch. Life is lived by love alone, if it's going to be credible, if it's going to be trustworthy. Life lived by bait and switch becomes untrustworthy. It becomes dishonest, manipulative, and all kinds of other bad notions of human relationships. When we tell people one thing, bait them in, and then we switch to our real agenda, that isn't love. That's hate. And that is why I'm here week in and week out in this project I am very proud of, the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. So to that end, we do some things as a means of keeping me stable and foundational, but we also do them to give you a sense of who we are, what we're doing, and why this is important. And the first thing is, I like to lead you in Love's Creed. So now I'm recording this actually on the day before New Year's Eve. So the end of 2024 is pretty fresh in my eyesight and vision and thoughts. I'm sure on some level, maybe it is for you as well. But either case, Love's Creed is something I wrote over 10 years ago as a New Year's resolution. I had no idea I was writing something that was going to become a permanent part of my vocabulary. Well, it is permanently etched in my heart and my mind. And I'm seeking to put it in as many other hands as I know how to. So you too can join me in a creed, a statement of life purpose, a sense that this is my more than a resolution. It's a life value. It's a sense of how I determine my life will be lived. So let me give you Love's Creed in total. I want to come back to it and offer it to you like a vow at a wedding altar. All right? So I'll ask you to repeat after me in just a moment. But first, here is Love's Creed in total, a personal value statement. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. I hope you hear the truths and the lilt and the prose that's in there, because this means the world to me, and I hope it will be something of that nature for you. All right, I want you to repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. I'm telling you the truth when I say that when I hear my own words repeated back from my own hearing, it lifts my soul. It pulls my meditation, my contemplative manner of living upward toward a strength of what I know to be love, and what I hope you'll come to believe with me is love, because I'm convinced love is not a simpy, sentimental, silly, easy go, easy come kind of thing. Love is the heavy lifting of life. So if you would like this Love's Creed in an email, I can send it to you at from randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's Randy Dean Ministries, all lowercase letters, all one word, at Gmail. It would be my pleasure to send you a copy, and I promise not to bait and switch, meaning I'm not going to BS you in and then put you on some mailing list where I'm going to beg for money or other means of cajoling you into something you're not interested in. If you're interested in Love's Creed, send me an email there, randydeanministries@gmail, and I'll get a copy to you as soon as I can. Another thing we do here at the No BS Bishop is I lead you in the Lord's Prayer. Now, first of all, I'm very aware that many of you don't know the Lord's Creed, the Lord's Prayer by heart. That's understandable given the fact that the brick and mortar of organizational Christianity today is shrinking rapidly. I have no war against anybody about that. I have a very deep concern because I've spent 50 years of my life building the church, and now at this stage in my life, I see it's shrinking and it's fading. But what I know is that things like the Lord's Prayer are such a beautiful, stable place to stand. And I want to offer this to you as well. You can look it up online. You can Google the Lord's Prayer, and there's a Catholic version, there's a Protestant version, and I'm not concerned which version you use, and I'm not concerned whether you have it memorized or not. All of that to say, as I lead you in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, I want you to remember, this is a gift from the very voice and the heart of Jesus Christ. And as such, it is the most prayed prayer in human history. It is the most valued prayer, especially among Christian folk, for two millennia. I love reminding myself when I say this prayer, I've joined with multitudes, not the least of which, obviously, is Jesus himself. So join me, if you will, or listen in, if you don't know it by heart, to the prayer Christ has taught us to pray when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The beauty of that prayer is, for me, stabilizing, foundational, strengthening, and it lifts me above my ordinary worries, pains, and concerns, and gives me a reminder that I'm standing somewhere that's well beyond my own understanding, and it's all the way into the beauty of the mind of Christ. Well, today I want to share with you the ongoing project that I have here, as I said earlier, 5 years of this project of delving into, researching, discussing, inspiring, preaching, teaching, however you want to call it. I'm going after love. I'm going after it with tooth and nail. I'm going after it with everything I got. I'm 71 and I'm not about to die, but I can sure see death from where I'm sitting. It's not far out there in front of me. And I want to make sure love is my legacy. I want to make sure that my children and grandchildren, and now I've got a great-grandchild, I want to make sure that my legacy, generations in front of me, will know that guy gave it for the principle and the power and the strength and the glory of love. Jesus taught us that the world would know we're disciples of him indeed if we have love for one another. Now, That alone should have set the church on notice that before you go jumping to 10,000 other doctrinal, theological statements that you think are all-encompassing, you better make sure you got love really, really, really nailed down on some level. And you're, if after you nail it down, then you make sure every so often you come back to it to keep yourself squarely rooted and grounded in love. You know, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3 talked about being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. Let's be that, shall we? And that's why I'm here to invite you to that, this personal value statement of love's creed and a value statement of life being about love. And I'm saying to you, that's why I'm here pounding on this desk, metaphorically, asking you to join me. Let's be serious about this. Let's get past the cutesy pie notions of love, and let's understand that love is psychologically, spiritually, conscientiously so important for the human, all of humanity to live. Either we're going to learn to love or we're going to fall apart with hatred. Even hatred is as some subtle notions of pitting ourselves against other human beings, forgetting that every human being is made in the image of God, and the image of God is love. And that's not love, but I want to cut your butt off right there and tell you, God is love. Full stop. God is love. 1 John epistle says, he who dwells in God dwells in love. He who dwells in love dwells in God. And by this we know that we are truly redeemed, if we have love. Well, you've heard me rant and rave about this before, if you've listened before. If not, well, you're a newcomer, and I want to make sure I establish my rootedness in this all-encompassing truth. So, I know going into the new year, a lot of you set goals for physical fitness, and that's fine. I have them. They're goals. They're patterns of my life I want to keep. I want to make sure I stay healthy as much as I know how. I know a lot of you have some ideas about weight loss, and that's fine and good. And if that's what you're after, go for it. I would urge you, however, operate for a love of yourself, not in a love for some money spent on a program that's going to guarantee anything. Those programs are deceptive at best. They are BS. They are bait and switch. But love for yourself will get you more weight loss achieved than anything else. So, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with physical goals. I'm fine with weight loss goals, all of that. However, I believe we all, every one of us, needs something more of a personal value statement in our life. New Year resolutions, okay. There's no war with that from me. Make your goals. Set your ideals. Talk it over with a friend, or just write things down that you want to achieve in the new year. That's good thinking. But I'm urging you to rise above it in another sense about your personal value statement, a personal value statement of love. Love for our neighbor. Love for those people that are all around us, and not just in a neighborhood, but neighbor in the general mystical sense. Everybody's your neighbor. Everybody everywhere is your neighbor, potentially. How about love for our communities? I live in Western Wisconsin. Some of you listening live around the world, and that you have communities wherever you're at, and our communities will thrive or fail based on love for community from the residents. Love for a community which gives the space in our priorities for setting our community up for success. Seeing to it that our communities are cared for. Here's a thought, and I live this way. For instance, the smallest little litter you see on a street in your community, love for community says, I'm not going to wait for the people who are paid to clean the streets to come clean that up. If I see it, I'm called to it. And love for my community says, here, I'll pick up the trash. I'll throw it away in an appropriate place. That's what love community for community looks like to me. And sure, that's very minimalistic, but it can grow from there to a variety of other forms. A love for community might have you run for city council. Love for community might have you run for school board. And love for community might have you simply making sure that your streets are clean and you don't have to get paid for it. On the idea of running for city council or school board, I served 18 years on a school board, and here's what I learned. If I'm going to be on a civic place of having been elected, I better not come in there with a BS attitude, bait and switch. I better come in there with love for what's happening there. When I ran for school board, there was an older gentleman who had been the superintendent of that district for a long time, and he was rightfully suspicious of me. I was relatively new in the community. I was a pastor, and he was suspicious that I was there for ulterior ideas on that public school board. And he hit me square between the eyes after I won that election, and he said, "Tell me, Reverend, are you one of these?" And he filled in the blank of some evangelical fundamentalist, "You're here to pound the Bible at us. Is that what you're here for?" And I said, "Why don't you tell me what you think that's about, and then I'll let you know if that's me." And he described, again, an angry, retributive, some kind of wild-eyed preacher going to come in there and push their agenda for this and that and Bible and the public schools and all of that. And I said, "Well, let me tell you, that's not me. I'm here to love this school district, to see to it that you're successful, the teachers are successful, and that this district succeeds in the best way possible. And if I make a mistake, I'll own it. And if I do well, I'll humbly accept any congratulations for it. But I'm here to love what I'm doing." And I put it in much longer words than that. But essentially, he sat back and I said, "Just watch me. I'm not asking you to believe my words. Just watch me." Well, many years later, over a decade later, when this gentleman retired, he wrote me the most beautiful handwritten note thanking me for being a productive and significant member of that school board and that school district, because he said, "You proved your value and your need not to be an argumentative person." I'm trying to condense it, but to be there to see to it that that district succeeded. And he said, "Thank you for being an outstanding community member." Now, all of that is to say, that's what love for community looks like. Love for community doesn't look like being a verbal boxer, a verbal ultimate fighting expert. No, that's not love for community. That's just mean-spirited. Love for not only our communities, but love for our nation. Now, I know love for nation can significantly drift off into weird places. But how about a love for our nation that causes us to love our neighbors and our enemies as we love ourselves? How about love for families? That seems obvious, but it's not well practiced. Love for your family says, I've got to find a way that if there are rifts in our family, I've got to find a way to fill my own heart with forgiveness and kindness and patience. I've got to find a way that my family knows that I'm here for love. I'm not here to win a battle or win a fight. How about love for your job or your career, right? Listen, there's a statement that says, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. There's a lot of truth for that. Now, I know working for being able to pay our bills and buy groceries and all of that is essential for anyone alive on the planet. However, wouldn't you rather make sure that what you do is what you love? And I've been saying a lot lately, I want to do what I love and love what I do. I want to offer that to you. Do what you love and love what you do. And if you're in a job or a career that isn't worthy of that goal, then change your career or job. I know it's scary. I know it's hard. But wouldn't you rather wake up in the morning and feel the joy of love for what you do, to do what you love and love what you do? I mean, even if you have to take a pay cut, to do what you love and love what you do. Love for our jobs and careers is just that important. How about love for nature? I'm going to say it. I am a tree hugger. We've got some trees on our property. We live on about 7 acres, and most all of those trees were planted by us or people who helped us plant them. And I love those trees. Not long ago, wind blew one of them down, and it just sucked the air right out of my lungs when I saw that big, tall tree laying on the ground. It just crushed me. Why? Because I love nature. Nature is speaking all the time, all the live long day. The Bible talks about the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Well, we've got some big, tall poplars in our property that when the breeze is blowing through them and the leaves are up there, those leaves sound like an applause. I have learned to just take it in. When I'm discouraged, when I'm worn out, when I'm tired, if I step outside and listen to those leaves clapping their hands, I just think, there's nature applauding for Randy. Randy's breathing air one more day. Randy's out there to love the world he lives in. That's how I think of when I think of loving nature. I love animals. I love birds. I love seeing an eagle. Every time I see an eagle, I think, what is it saying? That's love for nature. How about not just that, but how about a love for strangers? Oh, people you don't know. People you've never met before. And that doesn't mean I'm going to instantly have dinner with him. However, I will tell you, there was one story in the Bible where Jesus is walking along and Zacchaeus is a wee little man. That's a little child song. Zacchaeus, a tax collector, had climbed a tree because he was a short man in stature and he wanted to see Jesus. Well, Jesus is walking along and for all intents and purposes, he's a stranger to Jesus and vice versa. And Jesus stops, looks up in the tree, says, come on down. I want to have dinner with you. Can you imagine? I want to have dinner with you. Well, and Zacchaeus comes scrambling down out of the tree, and they had dinner together. And he also said, I'm going to make right if I've cheated anybody. I'm going to make it right. Now, I'm telling you, that's what love for strangers could look like in an extreme way. But love for strangers means you're holding doors. Love for strangers means you're not in such a hurry that you're tailgating people on the highway or in town. Love for strangers means you give people the golden rule treatment all day, every day. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How do you want to be treated? Treat everybody the same way. Love for strangers, I think, is world-changing. Love for friends. Sending a friend a text message or a note or something just to say, hi, you brighten my day. You matter to me. I can't think of a more powerful expression of love than the simplest of all encouragements all around us. So here's what I'm saying. Let's make love beyond all the soft sentiments and turn it toward really a blood, sweat, and tears means of changing our lives. And maybe, maybe, just maybe, we'll change the world inch by inch. There's a saying here at WPCA that comes on every so often. Anything's possible, inch by inch, everything's a cinch. And it's a little cheeky, but it means a lot. It's every little bit you can do. Every little expression of love you can lay in front of people. Again, we may not change the world tomorrow, but we certainly can change a minute's worth of the world today. We may not be able to create world peace anytime soon, but we can sure create life peace in the breath we take, in the moments we live. To live by love and to love all at all times won't be easy. I call it the heavy lifting of love. It's a pilgrimage. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint, not something you're going to get done real fast and have love accomplished. because love changes with the seasons of your life. Love morphs as pains and problems and challenges to be unforgiving come along. Love is an invitation to work and to do the heavy lifting. All right, well, I've got to bring this to a close, and I hope you can tell I'm energized about love. Seriously, I have one sermon to preach, and it's about 7,000 hours long, and I can only do it in 20 to 30 minute segments at a time. So here you go. You got a 20 minute segment of my sermon on love. I invite you to do a couple of things here as a means of closing our broadcast, and one of them is to learn how to breathe. To breathe well is to live well. It's healthy. On the count of three, I want to invite you to sit up as straight as you can, put your feet as flat on the floor as you know how, put your hands in your lap, sit up straight, and take the deepest breath you can down up against your diaphragm and hold it up against your belly for just a few seconds. All right? One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. Now, why do I do that? I do it because it slows us down. I want you to know, slowing your thoughts down from the race of anxiety to the peace of love will change your own inner world. And speaking of changing your inner world and changing the world of others around you, as I just finished saying, love for strangers, love for neighbors, I want to invite you to practice something kind of weird. It's a little bit off-putting. It'll make people look at you like, what? What are you doing? Get eye contact. Slow down and say the three most holy, magical, charmed, and value-filled words in the human language. Those three words are, I love you. It can be shattering. There are some people who haven't heard those words in years, months, weeks, or days. I want to tell you, any day that goes by without having been told you're loved is a day challenged and painful for you. And I want to see to it that we change that if we can. Let's love one another with the most eminently practical practice of saying, I love you. I want you to hear me say that on the social media you may be listening to, or the radio you're listening to, however you're taking this broadcast in with your phone or device, I love you. All right, I'm ready to close, and I just want to make sure I take a deep breath and get all my notes here collected to see to it that you know I mean business about this. The biggest mistake we make in life is thinking we still have time. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. Mother Teresa said once, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Now, I'm not Mother Teresa, but I'm Bishop Randy, and I'm here to tell you, let's do something beautiful. Beauty will save the world, and the most beautiful act we can perform is the act of love for all. Let's do something beautiful because, oh, baby, oh, it pains me to say, but ugly is getting done to death, right? Let's rise to the shining of love and let that be the beauty that comes from every step we take in the world we are seeking to make. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and I'm wishing you happy trails, y'all, and God bless.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.